Hey everyone, it's a stunt granny audio. We took a week off last week because we were all too lazy to do one. But coming back, I'm Jeremy. It's Kevin this week with me, or this time I should say, whatever. Good evening, Mr. DeFrango.
It got off to a shitty start with softball, but you know, whatever.
Yeah, it didn't work out so well.
No. Not even a little bit, especially when you get run ruled the second game. Although, I guess, suppose it was nice to get out of there by 7:30.
Yeah, well, you know, it happens. Yeah.
Yep.
I don't know. As long as you had fun, you know, that's all.
Oh, God, we got that fun. And that was the worst part, is we got that speech. There's some stuff we need. He does the whole, raise your hand, who didn't screw up? The worst thing that I did, because I got to fucking play catcher while two fat guys who are not all that mobile, including Andy, are out in the outfield not shagging flies.
Okay.
Anywho, you know, it makes sense to have the in-shape guy sitting behind the fucking plate. Anywho. screw up the game, raise their hand. I almost...
Hey, motherfucker, I was a catcher. Of course I didn't screw up. Oh, my God.
We tagged because nobody could get the fucking ball to me because everybody thinks they're goddamn Andre Dawson or something with the gun that they should be in the fucking big leagues at this point. Hey, cool bag, how about you fucking hit the cutoff guy? Your arm isn't good. We're not even remotely close to being in high school anymore.
Well, yes, it is. That's the whole point of playing softball with middle-aged people. You know, this is the final chance to relive, you know, high school and all those failed attempts at becoming something later in life. So you have to use it all on the softball field. You know, those are the times where I don't miss playing. Just knowing those douchebags, or as I call them, landscapers, fucking tools. I mean, I know, fuck them. I call them landscapers. They're probably that's their only job, and they're slowly being outsourced by Mexicans, so they don't have anything else to fall back on. Yeah. So, anyways, let's get into some wrestling talk. Not a lot to talk about, but the subject we have will actually may take us a while. Let's just start with the hate. okay. For anyone who follows the site, listens to audios here, we have a thing for Matt Hardy that I think the most of us is born out of a deep, deep disappointment in what this guy's become. When we were over at Pro Wrestling Torch, and I guess I'll speak for myself, we used to rant and rave about how they were underutilizing him, how his act when he was version 1 or V1 was great, it was funny, he was over with the crowd, blah, 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 blah. What was that, 5 years ago, maybe?
Yeah, you know what? The funny thing is the hate has been going on long enough that now that you say that, I'm like, shit. Like, I didn't really write for the Torch aside from my little editorials of the podcast, but...
Yeah.
Good God, yeah, no, I completely forgot that he was actually good at some juncture by himself, like not in the tag team. By himself, he was actually quite entertaining.
Yeah, I mean, there was no coincidence that's when Paul Heyman was writing SmackDown. Yeah, but he had, the Matt Fact. He had Shannon Moore as his lackey. The only time Shannon Moore has been in any way relevant or, I almost said necessary, but I get the feeling that
They finally put him in his appropriate spot. How does that sound?
Yes.
Something else is lackey.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah. Now he's. Never mind. But now he had, and then I became obsessed with watching his videos because they're fucking fantastic for the most part. Unintentional comedy to the highest degree. And I know this is kind of a rehash, but you never know if someone new is listening. So that takes us up to, Sunday they reported that Matt Hardy was sent home. This is reported at Pro Wrestling Insider, ProWrestling.net, Pro Wrestling Torch. We even had something on it. Well, I did. That he was sent home from the England trip early. And then, due to whatever, it was during the card, he was told to go home. And then he decided to blog on it, not a video blog, I guess would it be, or whatever on YouTube, about how, you know, it's all lies. He wasn't sent home because he's still in England.
Because it says lift and not elevator.
Well, yeah. What were the criteria? People were driving on the left-hand side of the road? Is that one? Or right?
Yeah, people were driving on the left-hand side of the road.
Mm-hmm.
It was lift instead of elevator. And
one more.
Fuck.
There was some other one. And
Stairway?
What, your phone broke up. What'd you say?
Was it something about the stairway? Because he couldn't go show and sign that said
no.
The
it was how they spelled.
The
it was no. It was how they spelled
center.
Or theater. One of the two.
Yeah.
And it's like,
yeah. You douchebag! Get out of North Carolina for every now and again, and you will see all kinds of people that want to be old Englishy and spell it C-E-N. And plus, that fucking moron, I didn't even think about this. The Bell Center in fucking Montreal, where I'm sure that dumbass has wrestled before, is spelled that way, probably because it's run by a bunch of goddamn Frenchies, but that's all for another day and time.
Well, I still spell theater with a T-R-E. I don't know why. I just always have. But I'm also from Detroit, so, you know, Canada's, you know, it used to be a 15-minute drive, but now it's about an hour and a half with all the customs and all that. But really what it comes down to now is Matt Hardy was trying to convince everybody that he wasn't sent home. You know, if he was sent home, why is he still in England? All right. If he gets sent home from the arena on the final night of the tour, you're not going to change plans. You're not going to change your ticketing for your planes or your hotels, any of that stuff, when you're flying home the next goddamn day. Who in their right mind would do that? Which, in that case, I'm surprised he didn't do it. But no, it's embarrassing. He's getting more and more delusional and just paranoid. Because then he goes into a giant rant about the Pro Wrestling Torch, or what did he call it? He was trying not to call it, but he doesn't have the vocabulary or the improv skills. So he calls it Pro Wrestling Spark or whatever. And then, and this isn't like, I'm not apologizing for anything the Torch puts out. But it's like, you know, dickhead, everybody was reporting it. If our site was reporting on something, you know somebody else was reporting on it first. Because we don't break shit for news most of the time.
that is a solid point. Too bad he didn't say these morons from Granny. That would have been nice for the old peepers, for people to check out.
Yeah, well, we'll get into that part in a little bit. I think I told you what I did today at work. But if not, well, it'll be a surprise for you too then. There's been something wrong with this guy for over a year, either mentally or physically, and physically especially. I mean, he started going over all of his...
Exploded or whatever the fuck it was?
Well, he had a broken wrist. And then that turned into him rupturing, having a hernia, right? And the hernia is where the stomach wall lets out and the intestines can push through, right? Isn't that what it is? Or the abdominal, not your stomach, sorry. Well, and that's what it is. And then this douchebag gets on there trying to gain sympathy from everybody, saying, well, you know, my intestines literally exploded. No, they fucking didn't. You'd be dead. If your actual intestines exploded, like the Death Star, or, you know, I can't think of any of the famous explosions right now. People are fucking dead. Because no one's checking up on his dumbass. So he's been laying there with guts hanging all over the place. I mean, it just, and I know it's being picky, but Jesus Christ. and you pointed out, and he mentioned it again, and this goes to that point. He's been getting back on track, getting back on track, getting back on track. It's September of 2010. When are you going to fucking do it?
Yeah, I mean, this was going to be the year of Matt Hardy, like back in January or February or something like that. And yeah, we're in the middle of September, and it hasn't even come close. What did Dusty call it? What type of slow berry was it?
I can't remember. Damn it.
Because it was fucking perfect.
Yeah. much like the usual, Dusty nails it with one thing where we have to stumble around to try and figure it out. No. And, it actually started with that creepy-ass video of him in San Diego around WrestleMania, that hot tub thing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy. They still give me the chills. Just, I do still. But he continually says it. And it's like, how many more, Monday I'm going to start doing this. Well, you know, I'm going to keep cheating, but Monday I'll be fine. Monday I'm going to start a deal. This Monday, you know, as a professional wrestler, how many fucking times can you keep saying you're going to do something when nobody has come to you going, you know what, you should talk to everyone and make sure everyone knows what you're doing. And maybe we're falling into his hands by talking about him, but we're not talking about him in a positive light. So I can't imagine that's what the whole thing would be about.
He still gets a good crowd reaction. So, I mean, I think a lot of people, they put on the blinders sometimes. I mean, when they start liking somebody, it's hard for them to reverse course and to not like them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, right now it's hard to tell with him being on SmackDown because they can manipulate the audio any way they want, either positive or negative. But it didn't seem like, what was it, 2 weeks ago when Cody Rhodes just tore him a new one? The crowd pop didn't sound that big for him. And when he lost, there wasn't a whole, like, oh, my God, Matt lost, like there usually is. And then when he lost to Alberto Del Rio this week, it didn't sound like the crowd was all that interested anyway. It's almost as if either, A, the crowd is finally going, you're a cutty piece of shit, you know, and then, or if it's WWE, you know, ratcheting down the cheering and just, you know, either just turning it down or just replacing it with other sound effects like they always do, SmackDown.
Yeah, so, now, I think that it's just starting to wear off. He has been losing an awful lot.
Yeah.
And there's only so much anybody can survive losing that much. Like, even, Santino even get the... I don't even think the guy's been on for comedy bits the last couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And he has far more charisma than Matt Hardy does, so, you know, if he can't make it through it, then Matt Hardy is definitely not going to make it through it.
Yeah.
No matter how good of a tag team he was involved in, the memory's going to erode at some point, especially with people who are probably generally unfamiliar with the tag team work.
Yeah. Well, it's like, how long can they still can he still get by on his reputation as part of the Hardy Boys or Team Extreme, if you want to do it that way, especially with Lita being gone for years and now Jeff Hardy being gone and just, you know, wasting away down in Orlando. It's almost like the reputation is starting to run out. And I think what you speak of something that's more important is that he can't keep losing, and he does. And he keeps losing and looking horrible. I mean, just physically looking terrible.
That certainly has not helped his status at all.
Yeah. But I'm also trying to think of somebody who hasn't updated their look in years like he hasn't. And like, even the Undertaker has gone through certain tweaks. Like, I mean, you know, not counting, like, you know, the haircut and then the biker gimmick. Then he slowly turned into this version of the Undertaker, then this version. Then, you know, Kane had, you know, the mask on, then the hair, and then, you know, the full suit, and then something different. Well, Hardy's had the exact same haircut, pretty much the same style, like jeans or He never really wore tights. Well,
yeah,
no, he did wear tights for a little bit, didn't he? Oh, God,
yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, he went to the full-length tights for a little bit.
Oh, God, that's right.
Yeah, but he is back to pretty much the same look at this point. I mean, you're right.
Yeah.
Like that, the full-length tights were a blip on the radar.
Is it funny with the fucking security deposit up on him? Jesus Christ, at least keep going with the same gimmick. If you're going to buy the pants, wear them fast, though. Jesus Christ. I just imagine his closet is just an endless supply of different pants in different sizes. And he just convinces himself, I'm going to keep these because I'm going to fit back into these one day. He tells me I do the same thing. No, you're not. You're never going to fit in those again, Tubby. Jesus Christ. Oh, my God. Oh, so anyways, it brings up getting through all this. And then I'm trying to think what else was on his blog. Oh, he was rededicating himself, going back to that again. And,
yeah.
You know, then he goes on the diatribe about the torch and how they someone has a personal grudge out against them. I don't know. We're not friends, I guess, if I want to put it like in those terms, with any of the torch guys except East Coast Audio. So I'm not going to speak for any of them, but I really doubt someone's got a grudge out for them. As petty as wrestling business can be, I really can't imagine any of those guys carrying a real grudge, you know.
And on top of that, I agree with you. I don't think anyone's carrying a grudge. But you kind of pointed out at the top of this, like, they weren't the only ones reporting on it. Like, there
mm-hmm.
were two or three other sites that were reporting it. So it wasn't like, oh, this came out of the fucking thin blue air. And then,
yeah.
I mean, just to really just... on the cake. He airs the video, and then the WWE's actually got to come with a junket that says, hey, yeah, no, that fuckhead wasn't Homer. But
yeah, okay. And here's the part, I believe I told you about this. On Twitter, I'm trying to find it real quick, but Matt Hardy loves posting shit about himself, so it's been very difficult to find it. So, I don't know. Basically, he was tweeting, here it is. Of course, there's like 83 tweets from him. Jesus Christ. Let's see.
Yeah,
okay.
Tweeting and just fucking blogs, for Pete's sake.
Yeah. Okay, so there's a tweet in here. It says, you demand blah, blah, blah from somebody. And then at Matt Hardy, I just wrote, somebody wrote Wade Keller a letter explaining he needs to shut the fuck up and keep his bullshit lies to himself. So Matt responds back, I don't know. I can't figure this shit out. But anyways, somebody wrote something to Matt Hardy about how they were going to tell Wade Keller off. Whatever. Okay. So about 2 hours ago, about 7:30 Eastern, Matt sends these tweets out. Oh, no, I'm sorry. After this bullshit lies thing comes up, WWE, as you mentioned, actually had somebody go on record. Obviously, hang on. WWE official. This is from ProWrestling.net. A spokesman confirmed that Matt Hardy was pulled from a live event in White Plains, New York recently, as well as Sunday's live event in Europe. The spokesman told Alfonso Castillo of Newsday.com that Hardy was pulled off the card, but he wouldn't comment why. I'm almost from reading this verbatim. So there's a WWE official on the record, maybe not the reputable, like a real source, but there's a WWE official on record saying, yes, we pulled him from the show. Which, if it's the last day, going back to the logic, you got pulled from the tour, stupid.
Yep. It doesn't matter what says center with the TRE. It doesn't matter who's fucking driving on what side of the goddamn road. It certainly doesn't matter that you're going to take a lift instead of a damned elevator.
Yeah. So, about 9:30 Eastern, we'll put it on there, 7:30 Eastern time, Matt Hardy sends out three tweets. I really hate saying tweets, but here's a quick hello to all my people and a reassurance to everyone that I'm fine, healthy, and in good spirit. Thanks for all your support. Well, wait a minute. Didn't he already say he was healthy on the video and everything was fine? But, okay.
Yeah.
And then,
he lost weight, everything was great, yada, yada, yada.
Oh, fuck, yeah. Well, we'll get back to that in a second. But then, when a time, then this next one, when a time is right, I'll put everything out there as far as what really, in quotes, really went down. I know I have to protect me and my brand, and I will. Then the next one says, I appreciate my fans so much that I'll always be honest with them, and the whole story certainly isn't out there now. Which made you say...
what did I say?
I mean, if you, I'll tell you what Kevin said. Hey, Kevin, as soon as I said something to him about it, he goes, well, if you're being honest and the truth's not out there and you're not telling us, then you're not being honest.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I said that like 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, that was 10 long minutes ago. But yeah, but that's exactly it. If you know what's going on, fucking say it. You blabber about everything else. And then, oh, there was one more I forgot. I appreciate all the things.
I think the biggest lie that he really told was, I didn't get pulled from the tour. I don't give a shit what else he says. He can keep on saying he's losing weight until he's blue in the face and that he's healthy, but he's not really healthy. That's going to end up showing in the ring. So, I mean, that's going to be an easily provable thing.
Yeah. And there's a discussion that can be had to where when he got hurt with that broken wrist, he shouldn't have been wrestling, but I guess you can get away with a wrist, I suppose. It's not going to help matters, but you can get away with it. But then when he got hurt with the abdominal injury, and that's a pretty serious injury. I mean, you know, when it comes to that section of the body, especially for a wrestler, it's your center of gravity. You know, you pull most of your strength from it. You have to have a healthy core if you want to put it in those terms. Well, he came back really fast from that. If it was supposedly as bad as it was, and it showed, you could see in the ring, he wasn't able to work out at all. I mean, I'm kind of, I guess, sticking up to a certain extent.
Yeah,
but don't
after
a while have... Go ahead.
Well, when you're injured, you've got to hold out. Like, it doesn't matter if you're a wrestler or a guy, you know, playing fucking hockey, football, whatever the fuck. I mean, you've just got to wait, or else you're just going to fuck yourself.
Yeah. And that's the thing I'm trying to get through is, you know, he may want to keep on the road, and he may want to keep wrestling, but you have to have the common sense to where you're not getting anywhere anyways. Taking yourself off the road, you're not going to get lost in the shuffle, especially on SmackDown, for Christ's sake. You can get right back in there. You'll be a main eventer, you know, in no time on that show. So it's like to detriment, he didn't take the proper precautions in taking care of himself, obviously, when he had the injury. But then when it came to staying out, and I'm sure people are going to say that, you know, WWE should have sent him home or not used him. But if they have this guy telling him he's fine, well, I mean, unless it's like totally, totally obvious, which I guess there can be an argument made in the past or may have been, but you got to go with the guy's word, don't you?
Well, one would think, but the other thing that, if it was that major of an injury, wouldn't you have the doctors recheck it just to make sure he could get back into the ring too? Like, there's no way they go, oh, yeah, Matt, you said you're okay, just waltz on in there. So I would think that there would be some type of a backup system in there. So if he was in there, somebody cleared him, and it kind of goes back to the whole, you know, I don't know if there's a doctor that any of these guys see, men and women, that say, oh, yeah, no, you really should just sit back and not do anything. You know, it seems like all these doctors are not exactly helping the situation for anybody.
Right. Yeah. But I mean, I'm really changed stance in the last few years. The wrestlers have to take care of themselves because they're clearly not going to get it from a management perspective. So it's up to you to take care of yourself. And I know it's your like source of income, it's your livelihood, and you can get bumped down the card, but you have to look at it and say, well, I can have a longer career by taking care of myself, or make as much as I can right now and be done with it. I mean, especially with, you know, the Daddy Warbucks down in Orlando, that bitch will throw out money to anybody. So you've got a nice nest egg down there to fall back on. That's not a problem at all. If WWE gets mad at you and cut you. So, But there was one more Matt Hardy tweet I forgot about. I appreciate all the things WWE has done for me in the past. They've been gracious to me, but now it's decision time for me. Thanks, all. He's being a fucking drama queen.
Yeah.
If you remember, there was he was singing some Slipknot song, and he was walking to a door, and then he turned around and walked away from me because I was like, am I walking out that door to go to something? God, fuck. I hate people who think they're deep, and they're clearly not. And that's what this guy comes across as, just like his brother Jeff too. So, but I mean,
well, I don't think well.
No,
at
have
least
you heard Jeff Hardy's music?
Yeah. No.
Okay then. So, well, when you have, you're gonna know exactly what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Remember a long time ago we were talking about Nikki Sixx? No, I'm not Nikki Sixx. Who's a drummer from Motley Crue? Tommy Lee.
Yeah.
This was years ago. You may not even remember this. But they showed, there was some sort of show with Tommy Lee, and he was standing outside of his car listening to his new record on some guy's stereo. And he starts jumping out, thrashing his head around. And I remember you turning and going, this still sucks. That's exactly what I picture Jeff Hardy doing. Or no, his music still sucks. Something like that.
Right, yeah.
That's what I've always pictured Jeff Hardy doing.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and then
actually,
Prince Matt Hardy, so...
Like his, at least what I've seen of his artwork, aside from that crap that he puts on his face, so.
Yeah. No, but, you know, someone that writes poetry is like, you know, I'm sure I've got some I can go read and that would just give you the douche pills now, but, like, was it Arrested Development? Were you, like, you know, you're not quite as mature as you think you are? Something like that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, so... No, the other thing, I tried flaming Matt Hardy on Twitter, but it didn't work. So Eric tried as well. When he said, when it was that one guy that wrote and said, I just wrote a Wade Keller a letter explaining, you know, to keep his bullshit lies to himself. Well, I direct messaged or direct tweeted, I don't know how that works, Matt Hardy and said, well, what do you think about this? And I put the ProWrestling.net link in there about a WWE official confirming he was pulled off the road. I haven't heard a thing back then. Not one thing's been said since. So, I would like to, you know, hope, honestly, that he got it and is just like oh, fuck you, like he got caught. Basically, making us out to be bigger than we actually are.
His hands in the cookie
awesome.
Jar. Well, he still knows that his hand is in the cookie jar. So,
yeah. If anything, if he gets released by WWE, it won't matter. Because I honestly think he's been damaged so much, it's just not going to matter now.
Well, I mean,
know,
they
like,
do only let people go who are completely fucking useless. So,
yeah. Or just been given so much time and so much time and so much time. I mean, I don't know. It's just a weird thing to see him collapse the way he has. Because like I said, there was a lot of promise years ago. And I remember they had remember the U.S. title tournament and it came down to him and Benoit. And they went with the title on Benoit instead. I mean, that's how far back it goes. So, but anyways. So there's something to look out for with Matt Hardy. I mean, if he's released, you know he'll get a nice little nest egg down in Orlando from Dixie and her seemingly bottomless pit of money. You know. Well, TNA does still exist. They just had the week off. You know. Because whenever you come out of a pay-per-view, you always want to have that week off from television. Because that makes a lot of sense.
Oh, yeah. Tons and tons of it.
I could see if it was for, like, a UFC-style pay-per-view or, like, special or something. But all they had were repeats of Gangland or something. Like,
yeah.
a marathon of them.
Yeah. I mean, that's more important.
I don't get Dixie Carter, and this is a total business side. She didn't round up Hogan, Bischoff, Jarrett, Bob Carter herself, went directly to the Spike programming guys and just threatened them, saying, "What the fuck are you talking about? We're being preempted for nothing. For nothing." And I mean, she should have been furious on her little Twitter account and Facebook page and whatever media I was saying, you know, we're one of your highest rated shows, which is actually true, with the schlock they've got on Spike, really. And we're being preempted for a show that doesn't pull, you know, maybe 10 episodes pulls the ratings of our show. And I guess that's a sort of a backhanded compliment for TNA, but, you know, a 1 point on Spike TV is pretty damn good. So, you know, you got to look at it that way. And then you're allowing them to preempt your business for some shit in-house garbage? I mean, as I wrote, that's, you know, really where they stand. So, all right. I don't know.
We're really spending a whole lot of time on Matt Hardy.
Yeah, well, I think we've always glossed over it in the past, so, you know, might as well get straight out there and, you know, whatever.
We went through the history a little bit more, which, like I said, I had even forgotten about some of that shit, so.
Yeah. All right. So, let's get into some Raw SmackDown news. Team has been pretty much dead for 2 weeks. Well, some would consider it be dead for a lot longer, of course, but, you know, when it comes to actually giving a shit, it never mattered. See how I did that? I zoomed it right around. all right. Yeah, so, I don't know. What did you think of Monday Night Raw? Because I think that we're going to have some varying opinions between people.
Well, I did skip the first half, as I said. I read it. I was a little bummed that I missed Daniel Bryan there, making quick work of one Mr. Alex Riley. But it was okay. I mean, it was there. Like, they hyped all the matches. Ocho Cinco, from what I saw... do they put, like, fucking sleeping pills in?
Hey, your Verizon signal's awesome. You were breaking up the entire time. What was that whole thing again?
Oh, okay. Well, anywho.
You said, what did they put sleeping pills in something?
Yeah, in the drinks of all the guest hosts. Like, what? Ocho Cinco is a pretty entertaining guy, despite the fact that I can't wait to see them get stomped on by the Steelers. like, he was so damned boring when he was out. For that one event that I saw him introduce everyone, I'm like, seriously? This is all you got? Like, all that yapping that you do. And this is all that you're bringing to the table? Like, it just seems like it ends up being that way for everyone. Like, it's just like, wow, what the fuck are you people doing in there?
Yeah, I thought the same thing. I was expecting some big energy from him, and he just kind of was like, hey, you know, I'm here. And I don't know if he was doing that on purpose to try and spare himself any embarrassment. Because, you know, the guy takes a lot of heat for just about everything he does. So, especially, you know, and they even brought it up on the show, them leaving the sidelines early when they could have used them for a Hail Mary, you know, he may have been doing that on purpose to avoid any more, you know, any more publicity.
Bad
pub. Yeah. Because, you know, you don't want to be doing that and go, well, was he saving all his energy for being on TV? You know, how they probably would do it.
Right.
So maybe it would have been different. Maybe that's why he was so low key, or he was just having a hard time remembering what he was supposed to say. So it was like a very drawn out process.
That's a possibility.
Yeah.
I mean, because I didn't really, well, I did watch ESPN this morning, but I don't think they didn't cover it nearly as much as when my favorite college woman molester was on there last year during the regular season.
Yeah. No. So, I mean, I guess that'd be the only answer I could really think of, you know?
Right.
I don't know. But I think he did an okay job, if you want to put it that way.
I mean, okay.
It wasn't all that bad, but there have been worse
right.
guest hosts, that's for sure. So, but I think the one thing on the show I actually liked, there were a couple of things I liked. One was the Jericho segment.
God, I tuned in for that.
He said before, and other people have said it too, but he especially said this is the best work of his career. Even going back to the Bill Goldberg stuff, where he was kept challenging, he was going to the rule book and all that stuff when he was fighting Dean Malenko, like his early crap where he was like the campy, like funny guy.
Yeah.
The 180, you know, in terms of tone has been, you know, pretty pronounced. But the quality of work is so much higher now. I mean, he doesn't have any missteps anymore. It's weird to see someone firing on all cylinders in today's day and age when they try and overscript everything.
Yeah, well, I mean, I just think it's odder. I think you pointed out the thing that's more odd is that how consistent it's been. It's like, it almost seems like no matter what angle gets tossed at this guy, he's doing something with it.
Yeah. The thing that really stood out to me was the interaction between him and the GM and Mitchell Cool. Whenever Mitchell was like, I haven't even just like yelled at him to just get to it. Because he's been waiting for somebody to do that. And, you know, John Cena always tries to make a joke about it. He's like, oh, damn you, internet. But Jericho just does exactly what everybody in that crowd wants to be said, or said everything what, you know, he finally said what everyone wanted to be said already. Just shut up and read the damn thing. And it was so great, because even Mitchell Cool just looks at him like, I'm just doing my, like, just read the damn thing, or whatever. God, it was great.
Yeah.
And then, so that part I liked. The match afterwards, okay, I remember years ago, and this is probably my own fault, they had Money Inc. versus the Steiners in a tag team steel cage match on something on USA. It wasn't a Raw, it was some special. Scott Steiner climbed out of the cage and got out. Because, and then Rick was too damn slow to get out. It was one of the two. So they were beating on him, so he climbed back up the cage and got back in. So last night, David Hart Smith climbs out of the ring and stands like a fucking idiot while it's a one-on-one match.
Yeah, that communication.
Because you climb
that
out.
Fast.
Yeah.
You know, don't you look at your other partner and make sure he's getting out before you get the whole way down there?
Yeah. You would think, yeah. But even then, are you really just going to stand out there and fake cheerlead and badly cheerlead? I mean, climb back in the ring, or if Jericho tries getting out, slam the door in his head like everybody else does or has ever done. And Jericho made wrestling in slacks look easy, which I thought was very impressive.
Yeah,
now,
he did do a pretty solid job.
What did you think about the end of this match, though?
Oh,
where
he
jumped off the ropes with Tyson Kidd between his legs? I mean...
Yeah, it was. I was kind of surprised, but I was impressed nonetheless.
I thought we had another, I mean, not to make light of it, but another Draz or Sabu or anybody who's ever been dropped on their neck sort of thing. When he came down, and you even heard the crowd go, oh, like, holy shit, he just killed the guy. And maybe that's just where, you know, you underestimate the professionalism of them, and they knew what they were doing the whole time. But I seriously thought he fucking crushed Tyson Kidd's neck. Not on purpose, obviously, but...
Oh, I guess I wasn't quite that worried. I was like, wow, you are taking an awful lot of chances there.
Yeah. But yeah, so I mean, taking out the obvious retarded nature of David Hart Smith, that was a cool way, that was a cool ending to the match. And, you know, and Jericho got his heat back finally after winning one. And then also attacking John Morrison, which... I don't know what they're doing with John Morrison. At least I don't anymore. Was that part of something you caught, or did you miss that?
Well, no. Hold on. Was that in the first? Did he beat him up after that match?
All right. They showed Sheamus talking, and then they went to John Morrison jumping around backstage.
Okay. I only read about that.
Okay. Now, I'm not saying it wasn't impressive, and I'm not saying, you know, the kids and the girls didn't think it was cool, all right? But it didn't make any sense. They said he's practicing some, I think it was French discipline of gymnastics, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, well, he's just basically using it like almost parkour. And I don't know if they said that or not, but... It was very odd, and then he puts the big jacket on and goes right back in, like, John Morrison mode. So it's like, I'm not sure how they're trying to get him over anymore, or what they're trying to come across as, because he had that goofy gimmick before, where, you know, he was making up, you know, when it was part of the Miz and Morrison team. And
right.
I just don't know. It was so weird, it just caught me off guard. Totally. He had a strong match for Sheamus, though. I mean, I thought so. His best match in years. Well, best match in months, at least. You know, since his steady decline's been going on.
Yeah, no, he's been going... they've at least been moving him into the right direction, although I think him feuding with Jericho is another one of those situations where they're kind of backing themselves into a corner. You know, Morrison, if they want to keep him going on some type of an ascent, which they seem to want to do again right now, and Jericho really needs to win the title. Like, Morrison should not be challenging for the title if Jericho happens to win it.
Yeah. Well, I think the six-pack challenge only has 5 guns,
doesn't it? You just turned into some type of a mouse in a box.
Oh, cool. No, the six-pack challenge has some sort of, it's got, Sheamus, Jericho, Orton, Cena, Edge, who am I missing?
Barrett.
Okay, so there's six again.
Yep.
For some reason, I thought there was only 5. Oh, that's because they didn't use Nexus for shit last night. And they've really cooled them off to a surprising level.
It's
like they don't know what to do with him anymore. They didn't have any talking time. Barrett didn't get anything across about why he wants to win the title. They just came out at the end trying to beat them up and fail.
They've taken one of the hottest angles and killed it. Well, I'm not going to say that they've killed it quite yet, but they certainly... we've been saying it. At some point, they needed to get over, just having it a group constantly. And
yeah.
They just have to... Raw is so jam-packed with people right now that October the 1st cannot come quick enough.
Yeah.
I mean, they need someone traded back to SmackDown. Some person's plural, move back over there to try and even the rosters out somewhat, because, I mean, there's just no room for them there, because, Nexus came there along with Daniel Bryan coming back, and, like, Evan Bourne has been lost in God knows where land at this point, like...
And they brought Alex Riley in.
Yeah, Alex Riley's on there. The only NXT person to not be on Raw is Caval, since his pros are on.
Right.
And SmackDown.
Yeah, and that's a good thing. I mean, even though he lost to Drew Z, but, I mean, it's okay. It's better to have him on SmackDown losing matches to a show that no one's watching than to be on Raw where he's getting squashed by, you know,
everybody.
I almost said The Miz, but yeah, anybody, yeah. Well, even SmackDown, I mean, SmackDown's got such a singular focus now. It's only Undertaker and Kane. You've got CM Punk and Big Show mixed in there, but everything else is just kind of secondary, no matter what, you know, how they try and present it. But going back to Raw, you brought up something that I really liked, and I've never mentioned this to you. I was talking to Eric about it today. The Miz and Daniel Bryan feud, it's still, you know, it's still going fairly well. The crowd's starting to get behind Bryan a little bit more than they had initially, and I think they weren't as behind it as I think WWE officials expected them to be.
Well, I brought this up in my blog last week. They let The Miz be way too, like, he is, he's teetering on that edge of being a babyface. Like, he's just saying so much of the truth now that it's just, you know, it's the, Randy Orton did it and stayed babyface. Sheamus was kind of getting there, and then they finally had him go, oh, I'm going to chicken out of a couple of fights here, and he chickened out of fighting Nexus at all and signing a truce with them. So, like, they kind of got their heat back a little bit. But, it's just another guy that they did. They've written him into a really good spot, but they need, to either keep him heel or make him a babyface. And please, dear God, keep him a heel just simply because they never have enough of those.
Yeah. Well, I think them adding Alex Riley back into the mix will help that. Because people really don't like him, regardless of how good he actually is. And really, I mean, just regardless of how good The Miz is, it's bound to happen. But I think one thing also with The Miz is how much they've built him up. And this isn't a knock on Daniel Bryan. It's just, you know, it's just how things work out. You know, Mitchell Cole keeps talking about how, you know, The Miz isn't, you know, or Daniel Bryan isn't on The Miz's level. And I hate saying it, but he's not. I mean, Not in a negative way, but just in the way the natural ebb and flow of wrestling goes. You take a guy at the bottom and build him up, and then present him to somebody who's either on or at the next, just barely next level. Well, right now The Miz is—he's stories above Daniel Bryan.
I don't think that's why it's kind of it's almost odd to. But, I mean, they seem to be doing it more and more. They put guys on that level kind of quick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are some guys like The Miz that need to earn it, and there are other guys like Sheamus that it just seems to drop right into their lap. And, I mean, I'm not saying that Sheamus hasn't worked hard, and I have multiple times said that I've changed my opinion on him. But, you know, sometimes it just kind of happens. I mean, and Bryan has that chance to... You know, even though he more than likely is going to lose on Sunday, he has the chance to really make quite an impression.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, even getting before that, and I agree with you, he's going to lose Sunday. I think he's slowly, I think the reason that the crowd's getting behind him a little bit better is the genius idea, whoever it was, Daniel Bryan locks in that lapel lock. He makes it look effortless to put it on, first off. He's very mechanical about it. Because it is that, I mean, it's to show that it is that easy to slap on, either The Miz or Alex Riley. And then while he's got it on, you know, this is what I was talking to Eric about, it's the taunting nature that he's doing. The way he's taunting The Miz whenever he's got it on, he's so nonchalant about it. He's like, yeah, this was easy. I'm going to do this all day. You know, almost like a heelish kind of move. But because the people hate The Miz so much, it's like, hell yeah, that's going to be easy. We can't wait to see The Miz get into that move. It's a cool thing to see. I don't know, because no one else really does that.
No one has done that. I mean, I know that, who the hell, he named it after someone famous. I remember Jim Ross mentioning it, and I can't think of who the fuck it was.
Patti LaBelle.
Yeah, that's what it was, tool bag.
I don't know any Patti LaBelle songs offhand, so I can't sing any.
Thank God we don't have to hear you sing.
I have an angelic voice, in case you can't tell.
But you were talking about the taunting and everything. Just like some of the stuff and the way Brian approaches it is almost heelish in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the other reason why I thought last week that the crowd, it didn't help that The Miz came out, got the crowd behind him, and then it was Brian's turn to try and change the crowd, and it was just tough at that point. I mean, The Miz had a tsunami coming in his direction, and there aren't a whole lot of period end of sentence that are going to be able to flip what was on there. Pretty good job, putting in there many things.
Hey. Your phone's breaking up again.
Well, that's cool.
It's all right. Here's the trick. Don't make any points whatsoever, and your phone's fine. whenever you try talking about something, it just starts going, we don't want to have anyone to hear any of this stuff. But no, I get the gist of what you're saying. And, I agree with you. Yeah, trying to change the momentum with The Miz just going out there lights out is really difficult for anybody, let alone a guy that's still trying to forge his own identity. I don't know. I just like that move. I don't know. You don't seem, even like The Undertaker's Hell's Gate, whatever that chokehold is, he's applying all the pressure. He's like, really straining to do it. Like Ric Flair, he put a figure four on and he's like really jarring back, it's really strenuous. And then you got little old Daniel Bryan just throws a LaBelle lock on somebody like, this is fucking easy. This is the simplest shit I've ever done in my life. And it's just really cool to see. So.
Then to compare it to another submission hold that's getting over, I know how deadly the armbar is, but it just does not, the look of what Bryan is doing is 10 times better than what Del Rio's doing on SmackDown.
Yeah, I don't know.
Del Rio kind of cracks me out now. It's just a swarmy presentation that finally grown on me. And then really having your own ring announcer is such a douche move. You have to appreciate it. And especially because that guy's going to interfere sooner or later. Or get his ass handed to him, so it's going to be really gratifying for everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that guy's fault, but, by proxy, you are going to get your ass handed to you, and people will hate you. So, and it's a nice, easy paycheck, too. So, I don't know. I'm trying to think. I thought Raw did a decent job building up the Night of Champions. They went over all the matches. Got everything across on it, so that was nice.
Yeah.
But I don't care about anything John Cena does anymore. I just want him off my TV. I don't know what happened, but something in me has finally snapped. I can't stand seeing that douchebag on TV anymore. And I know it's not going to happen,
but he really just sucks the fun out of the entire show. And it's to me, it's a converse. It's a total contrast between John Cena and Daniel Bryan. John Cena doesn't take anything seriously. It's just like, oh, yeah, whatever. And then all of a sudden he'll do a fire-up promo once every 3 months.
Right.
It's just like he's going through the motions. It's like, yeah, I'm the top guy. I don't have to fucking give a shit about any of this stuff anymore. So, yeah, whatever. Suck it.
Yeah, no, that's a good way to sum it up, honestly, because, I don't know, I've become pretty ambivalent to him, and I'm usually the one defending him, and it's just kind of like, okay, whatever, he's on TV again. Like,
yeah.
It is what it is. You know, I just always can't wait for the description, like, I don't care what website it is. The high-pitched screams for John Cena and the low-pitched boos for him. It's like, fucking seriously, guys? Seriously, you can't come up with something better. Like 50-50
yeah.
split, something. Just make it goddamn different. Like, this is as boring as a John Cena promo. Just like it's the same thing over and over again. So, yeah, whatever, we get it. And like, yeah, as long as he's getting that reaction, unfortunately, it is not going to change.
Yeah, I know. That's what I was kind of hoping that happened.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah. And he finally quit. I guess it's and I know it's not going to happen, but it's time for a character reinvention. Whether that's finally turning heel, he's going through the motions. And to me, he is. And it's just painfully obvious. There's no passion in anything he does. I mean, at least in his promos. His in-ring work is fine. It's John Cena work.
Well,
no,
I think
just,
you just hit the nail on the head there that it's fine.
yeah. And then putting him in with another wrestler whose work is just fine. You know, Randy Orton still hasn't really gotten good in the ring. I mean, he's fine in the ring, but he's not great. I mean, name a good Randy Orton match.
Oh, yeah,
okay,
that's kind of a good point. That, well, it still cracks me up that he still can't do, like, that, the whole, the Vipers getting ready to strike, you can tell how bad he fucked up his shoulder, because he still doesn't do it the same way, or with the same vociferous conviction that he used to before the injury. It's just like, oh, yep. Fucked up my shoulder. Sorry.
yeah. Yeah. You got
doesn't
it.
Doesn't really seem the same.
Yeah. I don't know.
But, his matches aren't that great. Plus, who the fuck didn't know that something was going to happen interference-wise?
Yeah. Well, that's what I was talking to Eric about. It was like, that was the only way that it had to come down. Something had to happen. Because they always like trying to get everybody in the ring at the end before the pay-per-view. And having him standing tall at the end was kind of weird because I'm like, oh, so he's not going to win then. I still like the idea of Barrett winning this title. I think it'd be a total shock to everybody, but, you know, whatever. I think that's kind of like pipe dream if you want to do it that way. Just to get some new blood, but it goes back to what you said about Raw. There's too many damn people on that show. And really,
is
without Triple H Bigfoot in the entire show, too. So imagine when he comes back. I mean, there's no room for anything.
Yeah, no. I mean, they are packed to the gills. They are getting to a TNA level of number of persons.
Yeah. But
on their Raw.
SmackDown struggles.
Raw, at least.
Yeah. SmackDown struggles with a bunch of people who are still trying to get over, you know, which I guess is an ideal spot to be. You can work and be left alone to hash stuff out. But, you know, they're still continuing to push Drew McIntyre on us, or Drew Z, as I like to call him now. I don't see that guy ever getting over, but
well,
whatever.
There was that, and I think we mentioned it way back. I don't know if it was you and I or who it was exactly, but they don't have anybody to get help drag anybody up further over the pile, though. It's nice to be able to work out the kinks, but there's no one there that's like, oh, yeah, if I get a victory over X, then I'm good to go. Like, The Undertaker isn't going to lose that much. Mysterio isn't going to lose that much.
Mm-hmm.
After that, I'm not – Kane isn't going to lose that much with at least the people that are over there.
Yeah.
And Big Show's not
Punk,
that much.
Yeah. And CM Punk's just not at that level. And as much as I like him, I like his act. A win over CM Punk doesn't matter as much as it should, but, you know.
No, his absence from the ring certainly helped blunt the momentum that he had going in that department.
Right. Yeah. And then apparently he had a lot of money to go get some more ink done. Jesus Christ. I was just like, did he just have a hair covering up that the entire time and I forgot about it? Like, on his chest, all the ink on his chest now. I'm like, wow, that's a lot of new shit he's got on there. And his arms, you can tell he got some of his arms touched up or redone. So. But, I don't know. Going into the Night of Champions, I don't have a lot of faith things are going to be different. I mean, they're headlining with a match on SmackDown of Kane versus The Undertaker. Wow. Just wow. That was a match at WrestleMania years ago when Shawn Michaels and Steve Austin wrestled. And now it's the main event of another pay-per-view. It's like, all right.
Yeah, well, at least for their measure, they've done a pretty good job of staying away from them actually feuding for quite some time. So I'm not going to bust their balls too much.
But it's still, I guess my problem is, it's still just a stale match. And it just goes back to, they didn't create anyone new for this stuff. And really, looking at two of them, who can Undertaker and Kane take on anyways? I mean, Undertaker had a good match with CM Punk on SmackDown, but you knew Undertaker wasn't going to lose, so.
Yeah, well, and that's the other thing. When I started listing who's going to not lose that much on SmackDown to raise everyone up, I'm like, why are all the true big guys, at least the way I'd consider them, they're all on SmackDown for whatever reason. Kane, Undertaker, and Big Show.
Yeah.
What, Khali's the only one who's on Raw, and saying that he's on Raw is a little bit of a misnomer, really.
Yeah, well, he's part of the Raw broadcast of that. No.
Yeah,
I agree with you. But, all right. Well, listen, we've been at this for a while, so let's wrap this thing up and give you a little longer edition of the show than normal. So, I don't know. I don't know if Eric can. I know you're going out of town, but you're going to be out of the frame for a while.
Yep.
I'm not sure if we're going to have another one this week or not. But so if we don't, that's fine. Then you have this one to last you until next week. A quick unsolicited plug: the East Coast Audio Show for Phyllis and Torch is going live starting tomorrow. You can find them on Facebook. I think it's just East Coast Audio, something like that. Or Pro Wrestling Torch, or PW Torch, East Coast Audio. Check those guys out. They're like the old Audio Experience, but with Soul. And if you listen to them, you'll figure that one out. You can follow us. I guess we kind of forgot to do this. We've got, obviously, you know, our site, but then we have a Twitter account, which is Stunt Granny. So there you go. You can follow that, and you know, we tweet when we put a new show up or a post up. And then apparently, if I'm bored at work, I'll just start soliciting wrestlers for stuff. So you can track and see how that goes. I didn't mean to say the word soliciting, but it sounds a hell of a lot better than what I was going to say. So, all right. Well, listen, you have fun in Denver, even though I'll talk to you tomorrow. So I'm going to play it off. Like, we only talk like once a week sometimes. So
no,
you have a good trip to Denver. And I'll talk to everyone later.
Okie dokie, grandkids. In Denver, I'm going to be heading to the Great American Beer Festival, so I am going to save room for sippy time beer until I get there Saturday night. Woo-hoo!